Organize Me Radio, episode 50, PR and Branding. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and today's guest is the founder and CEO of the Azar Agency. Please welcome Altamise Nicole. Welcome, Altamise.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you because Altamise and I go way back to radio.
Girl, yes.
But so can you tell us, what is the Azar Agency? What made you decide to start this business?
Yes, absolutely. So I actually started this company in 2016 with zero intention of being a full-time entrepreneur. I didn't feel that was my ministry because I understood, like, man, if I go into full-time entrepreneurship, my money is dependent upon the success. I knew all of that. So I was like, let me just keep this secure, as I thought, secure corporate job over here and grow it and then have this business on the side and have an additional stream of income. And that would be that. Well, in 2019, I was laid off. I went in at 9, had my meeting with my supervisor at 10, and had my box and was home by 11.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, at the time, you know, my ex-husband was home and he was like, you know, you have this business on the side. And he was like, instead of, you know, trying to create a seat at a table that wasn't created for you in the first place, why don't you just build your own? And that was the best advice that I think he has ever given me. And I just jumped in it in survival mode, honestly, and it took off. It took off. And I'm so extremely grateful. And Azar is actually Hebrew, and it is what God referenced Eve in her creation. So God referenced her Azar. When Adam woke up, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, I call you woman, which in biblical terms is man with womb. But God did not. God referenced her Azar, and it means warrior, and it means help. Now, helper, not helpmate, we're not second. We literally came to save Adam. Like, that's why we were created. Like, he needed help. So, so God was like, ooh, my son needs some help. Not help, but help. So he created Eve. And that's literally how we became. And, you know, and learning that and identifying that, that's what my company is. We help our clients amplify their voice, identify their message, and talk to their audience through heart, with leading by heart. Because if you start there and you start in the heart, everything else follow. The money, the conversions, the advocacy, all of that starts after you tell your message with your heart. So that's what we do. And we specialize in digital marketing, everything from brand management, social media consulting, social media management. We've done web design down to public relations. So everything from press releases, pitching, event management, all of the things. So It's been a interesting, beautiful ride.
First of all, I love how you describe the name and everything. Like, I love that.
Yes. Yes.
I love it. I feel like, you know, we as women, we are definitely warriors.
Yes, know? Absolutely.
Girl, kudos to you for starting that business. I think it's awesome. Who is your client? What types of people do you help?
Yes, absolutely. So we help the entrepreneur that's just starting out, that's like, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to do all of this, but I also identify that I cannot do all of this and I need help, even if that means investing in the business. So we help that entrepreneur all the way up to enterprise companies. So one of our partners is Meta. So we've actually partnered with Meta to help them connect with Black content creators on their platforms. So, you know, it just depends. And I'm very much spirit led in who we work with now. I think at the beginning it was more of like, oh, you know, because I was in survivor mode. I was trying to make sure I had diapers for my daughter. So I was just like, yes, everybody, right? And now, you know, it's more of like, if your direction for your business aligns with the direction of Azar, then we align together and then we create the partnership. And it doesn't matter how big or small that client is, you make it happen.
I love how you talk about, you know, your client. How, and I agree, like when you first start a business, you take on any and everyone who wants to pay you, right?
Yes.
But then as you continually grow, you realize, okay, well, maybe that's not my client, you know, maybe you're not a good fit. Maybe you're a better fit with this person instead of me, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So I love how you distinguish, you know, between the two.
Yes, absolutely. And we just went through this where the client's mission aligned perfectly with us. And I think, you know, we assumed that because the alignment with the missions were there, that everything else would be good. And in reality, our operational structure didn't align. And I knew that, you know, she hired us during a very pivotal time in her business and things were riding on that. And I said, you know what? And I literally used this analogy. I said, you know that movie Inside Out? And she bust out laughing. She was like, yes. I said, well, you're having a blue ball moment. And, you know, I want to make sure that your blue ball is like magical. And right now where I foresee us going, I don't think that performance-based, I don't think that we're going to make that blue ball magical. I said, so I'm going to recommend you to my friend who will make sure that that works out. And it was such a difficult conversation because transparently she was our largest client. And, you know, that was us turning away from the money, but to ensure that she got what she needed for something that was very, very important and significant in her life. And I was willing to let her go to make sure that she was well taken care of. And she's, you know, now with a great friend and partner of ours and doing absolutely amazing. And we're there cheering her on. So sometimes, you know, you got to make those difficult conversations and difficult decisions in that process, even if in the forefront it kind of looks like it's a loss. It's not really a loss long term.
Okay, so let's talk branding. Why is branding so important?
Absolutely. So branding is crucial because that's kind of like your fingerprint in the world, right? So everybody has to promote themselves. Everybody has to have, you know, some type of presence for a CTA, a call to action, all of these things. But if you don't know your brand and who you are, your fingerprint is like without the uniqueness. And your brand, that's what makes you you. That's what makes your company what it is. Because there are thousands of marketing and PR industry, you know, companies and agencies and firms, thousands of them doing the exact same thing that we do. But the difference is how we do it. That's the difference. That's the branding. So you have to know, especially if you're going to work with another company or a consultant or a freelancer, you have to know what your brand is to properly guide them to ensure that they know how to kind of replicate that and take that off of your plate. So that way they can move forward and speak in your language and have your brand voice and tone and all of those things. You got to start there. It's kind of, I really do believe that business mirrors our personal life. Like it mirrors, you know, especially if you're building it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like we must first know who we are to explain to any of the people in our lives who love us, how to treat us, how to love us, how to be there for us, whatever those standards are. Literally, that's the same thing in branding. That is the exact same thing.
Okay. All right. So let's say the client, they now figured out what their brand is. What tips would you give them to build their brand?
Be consistent. Be consistent, even if you think nobody is watching, even if you feel like you're talking to an empty audience, with zero followers, ain't nobody going live. You like literally keep stay consistent, because the reality is people are, they are watching. And the people that we see now that seem to have just taken off and they're doing exceptionally well, we're thinking that they did that overnight, when in reality, there's a lot of grit, a lot of hours, a lot of nights behind the work that they're doing that was consistent, that allowed them to, once they took off, they were ready, they were prepared, and they knew what to do because they had been doing it already for years. So the key is definitely consistency. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you have to go live every single day. It just means that if you dedicate to say, okay, I'm going to go live once a month, or I'm going to go live once every 2 weeks, you stay consistent with that to where 6 months down the road, your audience can depend on whatever that consistency is.
Okay. So, all right, I need to bring myself into this because social media, it's not my strongest area.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't like it at all. Like I feel like the only reason I'm on social media is because I have a business.
Yes.
If I didn't have a business, I would not be on these platforms. And then it, like, for me, it's like ebbs and flows. Sometimes I'm motivated to post. Most times I'm not. So for those people who loathe it, hate it, feel like it's such a chore, or just, they're just not good at it. What would you tell them? What would you tell me?
So honestly, you're in a very good position. It's literally a mindset shift, because people who love social media, they struggle with the blend of the two. They struggle with, okay, I got to talk business, but oh, I want to share this about my family, and oh, I want to do this. That's a harder thing to do in terms of ensuring people understand the brand that you're creating versus someone who's like, you know what? I'm just here for business. Mm. I'm just here to make sure that y'all know how to find me when it's time to work with me. You know what I mean? So really, like, you know, shift the perspective and identify that on, you know, on Facebook alone, there's over 2.8 billion people who use it every single month actively.
Wow.
So if you identify that and say, my audience is in there somewhere, if I could just get a fraction of that as clientele, it could change my life. And they're there, and it's not that they don't, they want your information. They want you to help. They want you in their life to help them get organized and get their life together. They just need to know you're there.
Mm.
So it's a perspective shift. And I would even say, consider being proactive with your approach to social media. As a human being, we post real time. Mm-hmm. We post on the go. That's the personal side of social media. All of the platforms now, they are set up and structured to where they understand that people do business on the platforms. So you can literally schedule out your content as far ahead as you desire. So we recently had a social media workshop helping participants to schedule content for a year.
Mm.
So even if they don't have the actual copy and the caption, they know every single month what their theme is, what their topics are. They can outline the socially relevant holidays. They can put them on the calendar, and they can structure that out to where maybe one Sunday or one Saturday of every single month, they go in and they just knock out the next month. So that way they can be proactive. The content is taken care of. They don't have to worry about it. And they can just move on with actually doing what they love to do, which is why they created their business in the first place.
Got it. Okay. Those are some helpful tips. I will try to put them into place. No promises, though, but I'll follow up with you.
Yes.
I know. I need to get it. I need to change it up. I need to. And there's no time like the present, right?
Right. Absolutely. And then just knowing that, like, it's the shelf life of Instagram posts, unless it gets massive engagement, or it goes viral, or it's a reel that's connected to a trending song. The average shelf life for an Instagram post is about 48 hours.
So are you saying you can just reuse those?
Absolutely. Evergreen content. And the shelf life for a Facebook post is 90 minutes.
Wow.
So when you think about it that way, you realize like, oh, okay, well, let me not stress so much over something that literally has a shelf life of 90 minutes. Wow. The platform that has the longest shelf life is Pinterest. Pins can live, oh my God, by average 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
Because people pin content now to use it later. It's like their digital vision board. So they have every intention of like, oh, let me save this now, but I'm coming back to it. So they tend to live so much longer than like, you know, a Facebook post or an Instagram reel or something like that.
Okay. That is some great information. Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate
that. Of course. Of course.
So now, okay. So for those people who want to be experts in their field, experts where, you know, maybe they're a guest on a podcast or they want to give tips on TV or radio or what have you, how do they get their foot in the door with those types of things? Do they need to hire a PR person? How would they go about that?
Yes, absolutely. So that is definitely PR. And I always tell people the PR side of what I do is not rocket science. It's relationship. It is pure relationship. It is me emailing people on your behalf, bragging about you on your behalf, keeping those conversations going, following up as necessary. When for some reason something gets rescheduled or they got to move it or whatever, keeping that conversation going so that way you stay top of mind. And you can certainly do that on your own. But if that is not a part of your business and that's not what you signed up for, essentially, when you said, I want to start a business and grow something for myself and my family or however large you desire to do it, that's not a part of it. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes things like PR and the marketing side, it actually can pull you away from the craft that is actually a part of your business. So I always recommend, you know, if you are thinking about, you know, wanting to have, you know, opportunities on, you know, digital magazines, print magazines, all those things, podcast interviews, it is great to work with someone that is either a PR consultant or a PR firm. So in our situation, we are a PR firm. So we have relationships established. I have someone on my team. Sometimes I work on, you know, I'm the publicist for the client, and sometimes I'm not. It just depends on that client and what they desire and me understanding where their goals are and who fits best. But it's ideal. And we understand that you can't always do that, but it is ideal to work with a publicist primarily because they already have the relationships built. So they can already, you know, they can already kind of hit the ground running. It does take time. So it's a lot of, you know, I can pitch a client today and we not secure them for that specific opportunity for about 3 to 6 months. So it literally is a long-term game. And there have been times where like a PR client, they may get no hits. We have no secure publications for 1 month, but that next month we get five. And those five came from 2 months of pitching. So like it's a thing, it's a strategic thing. And just knowing and identifying how to properly communicate with, you know, writers and contributors. Anytime you hear someone say, oh, you can be on X and it is X amount of dollars, that is not PR. That is paid media. Okay. PR is earned media. You should never, aside from the retainer that you have set up with your publicist or with your PR team, you should not have to pay to be a part of any publication or anything like that. That's then considered paid media. That's not what PR is. I just want to outline that because I know in the industry that has been happening quite a bit. And that's not PR. That's not what it is.
Okay, so then if someone does want to get a publicist, how do they find that publicist? How do they go about it?
Yes. So interestingly enough, all publicists hang out together. So I would actually, we all know each other in some capacity, in some sort. We keep tabs. Like, for example, Beyonce's publicist, Noelle, she's my bestie in my head. I've never met her in my life, but she's absolutely amazing. And I just follow how she strategically guides Beyonce's entire life to where it just, it's amazing. Yeah. So we all hang out in the same kind of realms. I would actually start with Instagram. And use hashtags like PR, hashtag publicist, and you, there will be an array of people that come up. And then also tap into like your community of business owners. So like the people that you already work with that have, you've known that they've kind of gotten into different publications and things, and ask them, hey, how did you do that? Like, are you working with someone? Do you have anyone that you would refer? Referrals are fantastic, because at least you know someone vouches for their work, you know. And one thing that I'm an old school publicist, and I say that because social media completely just flipped. It flipped our industry on its head, like many others. Mm-hmm. But I'm very much old school in terms of like PR is service. It's service to our client. So like there's never a point where, you know, I would, you know, pitch an opportunity for you, but then discover it's a better fit for me and then take it from you. Things like that happen. Wow. You see what I mean? So like, it's important to just check and make sure, like as a publicist, I will never be in your pictures unless you say, hey, Ultimate, come in the picture. And the person who should be the focal point is you, not me. You know, like those kinds of things. Those are things you got to look out for, because some publicists, the new age ones that, you know, learned on their own because it is relationship based.
Yeah.
Their focus, they don't realize the focus should solely be the client. Like if I get you on GMA, I want to make sure that the green room has the snacks you want, the drinks you want, that you're good. They know you have all the talking points that you need. You know not to wear stripes that day because it does not look good on TV, right? Like that kind of thing. Or even down to like a makeup artist, making sure you have someone there to help you with your makeup. As a publicist, I can't have a beat face in my client, which is their event, is their thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm beat for the gods. And my client over here like, oh, okay, well, let me just go and put me on a little foundation here and there. You know, like, no. So it's really important. Like vet and referrals are always great. Referrals are always great.
So can you tell us about a client success story that you have?
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. My friend and client, Nakia Booker, during the pandemic, she created this amazing book, The Black Artivism. And she found, you know, during the pandemic, there was a lot of racial tension, a lot of things happening, the George Floyd situation. And in the pain, she discovered a beautiful voice in art from Black people. And she actually gathered a lot of these Black artists from Instagram together and created this fantastic collage of like the joy, like celebrating Black lives. And, you know, we worked together right before her book launched and then after her book launched. And I know we, you know, there was a moment where we took a little pause and she was like, okay, sis, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get back into it. And because of the pitching that we had been doing almost for about 6 months prior, you know, once we got back to connected, I was able to pick those conversations back up, and we got her in Yahoo. We got her in Yahoo Finance. We got her in Black Enterprise. We got her in Voyage ATL, Voyage Baltimore. They were just flooding in in probably about a 3 month time frame, which is unheard of, but it was because of the work that we did ahead of time. We had already established relationships and people were looking at her. So that was definitely one of my, like, that's one that I'm very proud of, because, you know, we were able to get her the visibility that, you know, her book and her brand just deserved so much, and in helping her kind of get that message across that, you know, there's power in art. And there is beauty in the lives of Black people. And we can integrate the two to just showcase, you know, just how magical and how beautiful we are as people.
That is so great. I'm going to have to look her up.
Yes, yes, yes. She's awesome.
Okay, so in the spirit of Organize Me Radio, I have to ask, what are your favorite organizing products?
OMG, baskets. I have baskets all over my house. I don't even think they, look, I be trying to like have, I want to visualize my house as like being like in some type of magazine or something. It's not. But I'm like, oh, they have baskets here, and I can organize this here. I have baskets all over my house. And I love it. I love it. And I tell my daughter in her room, I use those baskets to just help her organize her stuff how she wants, to where like, if even if she has to quickly clean up, she can just put it in the basket, move it, and her room is clean. So I would say definitely like baskets. I have them all over, whether it be in the closets, downstairs, and by the couch, for blankets. Mm-hmm. They come in extremely handy. Her blocks, they go in a basket. Yeah. And she just knows like, oh, I got to clean these up. Just put them right on in there.
Yeah, no, I think baskets are great because it's like a catch-all, you know?
Yes.
They're decorative ones that are so pretty. Yes. So you can also use them as decor as well.
Yes.
So yes, I have several baskets around my house too.
Oh, good, 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 good. Because yeah, in my brain, I'm like, oh, this is like a magazine now. I don't know if that's how it actually looks. But in my head, that's how it is.
I'm sure it looks fine. So now, okay. So last question, can you tell me, what is your greatest achievement as a business owner?
As a business owner, I would say my greatest achievement would be probably creating a scholarship for young Black girls. Hmm. I created a scholarship in partnership with Girls for a Change in Richmond, Virginia. And I wanted to invest and give back to young girls that had a dream, and they had a vision for their lives, and they knew what they wanted to do. And it's just sometimes the money wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So we created a scholarship, and then we had a call to action to other Black women business owners to join us. We made a commitment of $5,000 and they matched. So we created scholarships of $10,000 for young Black girls with Girls for a Change in Richmond. And by far, that's the one that's like nearest and dearest to my heart.
That is so inspirational. Oh my goodness. I love it. I love how you're using, you know, your platform, your business to change the lives of other young women. And I definitely feel like, you know, you are someone to watch and someone to look up to. And I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, for me, it's so much bigger. Right. Yes, I love marketing. I've been in this industry for a long time, but it's really about the hearts that we connect with, whether it is our clients and partners, whether it's their audience and helping them get their message out. It's about connecting, and it's about, you know, doing that in a sincere and authentic way. And then, you know, because of Azar and that meaning, it's very much connected to women and young girls, and just making sure that they know that they have a voice. Mm. Whatever that, like, you own your voice unapologetically, the good, the bad, all of it, because that makes you who you are. And, you know, as long as we are in alignment with that, I have peace. I'm good.
Mm. Altamise, thank you so much for being on Organize Me Radio. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more information about you?
Yes, absolutely. So I am Altamise Nicole everywhere, regardless of what platform. So it's AltamiseNicole. So at Altamise Nicole, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. And if you are looking for the Azar agency, it is Azar, Ezer, agency everywhere, regardless of the platforms. Branding, key branding. But yes, and I would love to hear from you, and, you know, please feel free to reach out if you have any additional questions.
Altamise, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time for an all-new episode.